DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble-wubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sam.
Nice. We have no Bryce.
No Bryce.
No, no Jim. Bryce. No Jim.
Still a sad notion.
The world is cruel.
And cold.
This moment of silence brought to you by Jim.
She-Ra. I told you she was going to overtake my lap, and she's trying. She's trying so hard.
God damn it, She-Ra.
Your dog ruined the moment of silence.
She's good at that. She ruins many. Oh, really?
Okay, so I'm going to start off the show with a complaint.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
So, we go through GoDaddy. For our web hosting.
Okay.
And they force us to use something called WordPress. I don't like WordPress. They used to have a program that was for podcasting that was fantabulous. You plug it in, it goes right to iTunes. You don't have to... No, but with WordPress, you have to do all these extra things. And now they fucking change WordPress. And I'm not sure if our episodes are going up on iTunes now. And they just changed it like over the weekend because when I posted our 200th episode, it didn't have the normal stuff that tells me that the episode goes to iTunes. So I'm not sure if it's going to iTunes. So if you're listening to this, it's fucking GoDaddy and WordPress's fault. I spent 2 hours trying to figure it out yesterday, and I finally said, fuck it. The episode is at least up on our website.
That's fair.
Also, I tried to get us up on Spotify, and guess what? There are four other Not Another podcasts on Spotify.
Fuck.
Just so you know, we are the original. We're not the best, but we are the original.
It looks like the last thing... We had episode 199 and the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, so 200 has not gone up on iTunes, and I don't know how to get it up there because of the new WordPress.
Sounds like an email needs to be crafted.
Email? Fuck that. Phone call. I pay way too much money for this fucking bullshit, and I don't even want it. I want something more intuitive because I'm not a fucking genius. And now it's costing us listeners. Like, all one of our listener.
Oh, come on. We got four. We got four.
Okay. All four of our listeners.
All four of our listeners are paying the price here.
So, my apologies. I'm trying to get it worked out. But, yeah.
There are other hosting sites.
Oh, there are. But a lot of them use the WordPress because it's, like, the most mainstream thing right now, but they've got this new thing called blocking, and it's essentially you do each thing in a block, and it's really stupid. It's far more time consuming than the old way was.
All right.
And for our stuff, it just doesn't work. So I need to find out if there's some way I can go back, or you know, they can make it to where all the stuff that we need to get our podcast up is there. So.
That's fair.
And it may be just someone at GoDaddy fucking walks me through.
But fucking assholes.
It's kind of bullshit. Because it's like I started to put the stuff in.
Right.
And like midway through uploading it, it all changed. And all the stuff I had went away, so I had to redo it. And when I redid it, all the stuff that I normally check and click to make sure that we are onto iTunes was gone, and I couldn't find it. So it's like, it's driving me out of my mind. And so to our four listeners, I'm sorry, but it's not my fault this time.
That's fair.
Usually it is, and I'll take full blame for it, but this time it's not. I did everything right. So Hey, guys, our president might actually be going to jail.
Yeah, I heard about that. They've been talking about the impeachment potential. And then, yeah, good stuff after that.
Yeah, so so Mueller filed some court shit last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday news dump, as it's known. And in that information, it came out that not only are they pretty much eyeballing him for obstruction, but campaign finance fraud.
Yes.
Which is kind of a big deal.
Kinda.
So he's looking at...
Nope.
There's also some shit with... Definitely with Russia.
Right.
But as it sits right now, he's looking at jail time. Like serious jail time for campaign fraud. The only thing protecting him is the fact that he is a sitting president.
Yeah. But...
However... They can, when Congress reconvenes in January with the new Democratic heavy Congress, the thing that they're kind of pushing for is his tax returns. And if he doesn't turn those over, which of course he won't, they're going to really start pushing for getting him out of office.
Well, now they can be subpoenaed, so he can't say no.
Actually, he can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he can. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's personal finance.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of protected, but the more he pulls back, the guiltier he looks. Not that he doesn't look guilty.
Yeah.
True enough.
But yeah, so come January, things are going to be really interesting. This could be the first... president that goes to jail. His only hope right now, and this is kind of scary, his only hope is he wins re-election and stays in office, because apparently the statute of limitations is 5 years.
Ooh.
So if he and there's kind of a small loophole right now. Everyone says like you can't indict a sitting president, but apparently that's not actually like legal. It's just kind of something that's, you know, everyone kind of goes by, but
yeah, it's not an official rule. It's
yeah, so they're saying like they
that hasn't happened before. That's all.
Yeah, so they're saying that like they might look into that come January.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, all they'd really have to do is just start the proceedings on an impeachment, and then once the impeachment goes through, then they can run the fucking river on him. Because
oh, yeah.
At that rate, he will be out of office.
Well, and here's the thing: if they do find him. That he worked with Russia, that's treason. It's full-on treason, and it doesn't matter who you are. And treason is still punishable by the death sentence.
Knowing full well that he's probably going to run the gambit of very, very high top-dollar lawyers and drag it out as long as possible until the statute of limitations runs out.
Oh, he'll die before...
Yeah, yeah, he'll die before they get to
get
the
conviction like
72. On him.
Because he's like 72.
But still.
No, see, I think they'll convict him, and he'll probably go to jail, but he won't receive the death sentence.
No, and again,
I doubt he's actually going to go to jail.
Yeah,
like,
that's
just, I'm sorry.
If he goes to jail, it's going to be club fed.
Me too. Yeah.
No, I hope he does, but he's not going to jail.
No.
We know that.
No, no.
Go to jail before
he'll,
he does.
He'll roll on everyone to keep himself out of
including
prison.
Including his own children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ivanka will go to jail before he will.
Yeah.
And we all know how
that
much he loves
bring
Ivanka.
Me so much joy. As if, this is a terrible thing to say, but any of his kids going to prison, because he can't pardon them, and that would just bring me so much happiness.
Well, here's I came across this thing, and I highly recommend you watch it on YouTube. It's like a 3-part series. It was done by ABC News Australia, and it's called "Follow the Money." Just look ABC Australia, Follow the Money.
Okay.
And you should find it. It's a 3-part investigative series, and it is fucking eye-opening.
Hmm.
And it's like, it's kind of the Mueller investigation.
Okay.
Without, like, all the really in-depth stuff. But these people got Carter Page. They interviewed Carter Page and like, all these... these people. Some of them they couldn't talk to. They had to talk to their spouses because they're actually cooperating with the Mueller investigation. Oh, my God, is it fucking riveting. I've watched two of the three.
Right.
When the show's over, I'm going to watch the third one because it is just amazing. And the best part is because it's from Australia, it's not biased. It's not CNN or Fox or anything like
right.
that. It's like an outsider's look into this. And, man, they dig deep. I mean, really fucking deep. Oh, my God. Talking to all these people who were, like, partnered up with Trump from the beginning and how they were like mob lawyers and all this shit, and it's like, Jesus, no wonder this shit's going on. And they're connecting all the dots that, you know, we see all the dots and they're like, well, this one's connected to here and this guy was connected here because he was in Russia at this time, and it was it is so good.
James getting his jollies.
It's also really scary when you watch this series, because it's like, wow.
They can do that.
They can. It's.
Yeah. I will say, on a bit of a side note, I saw a video today that actually was rather touching and somewhat upsetting all at the same time. I watched the video of George W. Jr. Doing a speech at his father's funeral. And it was like watching him talk up there. It's like, you know, I miss W.
I had this conversation with my in-laws on Saturday, and we were talking about how, as time goes by, I've become more and more fond of W.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a terrible president.
Oh, absolutely.
But
he is actually a decent human being now.
And here's it. Well, the thing is, he was a decent human being.
True enough. He just sucked at his job, which is kind of a bad thing.
He's kind of come out and really opened up about his presidency. He didn't really want to be president.
Mm-mm.
He does not associate with Cheney or any of those people at all.
That's fair.
To
be fair, Cheney, you know,
he's
kind of
really, really open about how terrible a president he was. And how he really wasn't the guy in charge.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think most people kind of knew that, but that was what made him a bad president.
Yeah.
Was because he had the position and he really wasn't doing the job.
Well, I think he really kind of knew he wasn't qualified for it.
And that's fair. And to some degree, that's something that I've grown to respect about him, you know, post-presidency.
Yeah.
Because even he kind of recognized, okay, yeah, I really kind of bit off a hell of a lot more than I can chew.
Well, hindsight and all that.
Yeah, and again,
9/11 happened during his presidency. I mean, for someone who already doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, he had to deal with that bullshit. And he didn't deal with it very well.
I really appreciate the way he did handle it. At least from what I can remember, I was in high school at the time. I remember, you know, what classroom I was in, what, you know, and all that fun stuff. But a lot of people give him crap for, because he was reading to, you know, the school kids and all that when he got the news. A lot of people give him flack for continuing to read. And I was like, no, what else are you going to do? He maintained composure, poise. He finished, you know, like, what is he going to do? Just jump up and run out in a panic and scare the kids? No.
Right.
And I think there was no problem with what he did and finished what he was there to do. And then he, you know, they got down to business.
I often think about that.
And he was a unifier in that moment, too.
Well, and I often think about that moment particularly because I remember, same as you, when I was in high school, you know, what was it, like a year or so afterwards, you know, the whole Fahrenheit 9/11 documentary mm-hmm. came out by Michael Moore.
Yeah.
And he scrutinized that moment. And again, I often thought about it even back then. I was like, well, what the fuck do you do?
Yeah.
You can't just, I mean, you could have stood up and said, excuse me, folks, I have to take care of something incredibly urgent. Thank you very much for having me, and walked out.
You can do that without creating a panic, but it's like.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, I would imagine the shock of the situation. Again, like hindsight, you know, we can all say, yeah, that was something he could have done, but. He was sitting there and got hit with this news, and I'd imagine his first thought was, oh, fuck, what do I do? And that would be most everybody's thought. And at the same time, I can't really hold it against him for what he did in that particular moment. And so I'm with you on that.
You have a staff.
Yeah.
But that's why you have a staff that you trust, that you put in a place to handle those situations and brief you when you're there and ready. But, you know, so there's so many pieces of the puzzle that are in play and interlocking to handle that situation immediately. Like, there was, you know, I have no problem with what he did, because he already has people working. He already had people working on it.
Here's the thing. He has or had the toughest job ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not – and you have to make split decisions. And we can armchair quarterback it to death, but the fact of the matter is we weren't there. We weren't in that position. We don't know how we would react in the same – exact situation. See all the time, you know, people watch movies or read books and talk about, oh, if that happened, this is what I would do, and this is what I... But then you put them in that exact situation, and they completely shut down. All the bravado that they had, and, oh, I would do this and do that. You cannot look at a situation and say, this is how I would react, until you are in that situation.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's truth to that, but I also think that there's, you know, if you take on a job like being the president, you kind of know what's expected of you to some degree, and there's a certain level of situational awareness that you kind of have to have in order to hold that position. And so, again, I mean, don't get me wrong, he wasn't a great president, but I also think a part of his circumstance
in hindsight,
that,
he wasn't the worst either.
No, he wasn't.
And that is a sad, fair notion. I mean, in and of itself.
And do remember that W had, at the time, the lowest approval ratings of any sitting president ever.
Yeah, but he wasn't offender or treasonous.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
our current president.
There are things that he didn't do.
I believe our current president has had lower approval ratings than W. I don't know for sure, because I don't have a way to fact check that right now.
And to be fair, I don't know that I would necessarily believe that, because there is a large community of people who still think old Trump is like one of the best that we've ever had.
Yeah.
And one of the reoccurring themes that I keep hearing from people is that he has no filter. Now, for us who, you know, understand the concept of the job and what it entails, a filter is kind of required. But the people who really support him and back him up are the ones who are sick and tired of being, you know, politically talked down to, essentially. And with him, since he has no filter, they're like, oh, I love this guy. He says it like it is. It's like, well,
the problem is those same people don't understand that the stuff that he's spewing is complete bullshit.
Well, and on top of that, he's also perpetuating, I hate to sound like a hippie, but negative vibes, bro.
Because you are 100% correct. And the thing is those same people who love him because he tells it like it is and don't realize that they're being lied to more effectively than any other, and I hate to label him as a politician, but he is now a politician. They don't,
in name only.
In title only.
He's really charismatic, and he's able to
he's a businessman.
Rally his base
under
whatever flag he's waving, because he understands that the people he's talking to are, and I don't mean to be insulting, but effectively stupid.
Well, he openly said that. Like, I love dumb people. I can get them to follow me anywhere, essentially.
Well, and he also said, too, before, like, years ago.
Back in, like, 92 or 93 or something.
Yeah, if he ever ran for president, he would run as a Republican, because Republicans are kind of dumb and easy to control. And if you don't, if you're a Trump supporter and you don't believe that, look it up. There is video of him saying it.
In an interview.
The scariest part, I think, is when you see those videos, those compilation videos of, like, Trump supporters when people asking them, well, what do you think about him lying? And their response is, well, I don't care that he lies.
That's far scarier than anything
I've ever heard. That's dangerous. It's stupid. And you should care if the president lies to you.
Again, and it's one of those things I've also come to understand that a lot of the people who I've spoken to who are Trump supporters, they very much carry his mentality of, if you provide evidence that's contrary to my beliefs, then it's fake. And because it's wrong.
Dangerous.
It is horribly dangerous because that's how you get ideologies. That's how people get so hard in their ways and refuse to accept any kind of information that would lead to an alternate set of what you might call facts, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's how you radicalize people to a cause.
Mm-hmm. You just say anything that doesn't agree with me is fake, or it's been altered, or it's just bullshit through and through. It's like, well, okay. In that notion in and of itself, you're contradicting your own belief structure by believing that something that you believe in isn't in itself altered.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you realize that you've just counterpointed yourself by not taking any moment to actually accept that there are facts that are contrary to your beliefs.
And it's how we get that, it's how in this day and age we get flat earthers and non-vaxxers.
I was
going
to bring up flat earthers. Oh my gosh, flat earthers kill me.
I actually had one of those notions too.
One of my best friends here broke news to Ryan and I. We were over there and she goes, guys, I have to tell you something. And we were like, what? She goes, my sister is a flat earther. And we were like, really? Oh, God.
Well, tell her this, if you would like to, because this was a theory I had. Now, flat earthers, by definition, believing the earth to be flat, it's like, okay, with our incredibly high-powered magnification, you should be able to stand atop any mountain anywhere and see Europe.
Yeah.
From any high peak at all, you should be able to see Europe. Or you should at least be able to see to the other side of the ocean. But since you can't,
well,
because of the curvature.
The question I would ask then is, if how is it a plane can leave Los Angeles, fly towards China, and end up in New York?
Hmm?
Because if it's flat, wouldn't it just keep going into nothingness?
In theory.
No, that's where the Pac-Man theory comes in. Have you heard of the Pac-Man theory?
Oh, it just restarts on the other side, basically?
Yeah, just like how Pac-Man exits to the left, he comes directly in through the right. It's like an instant teleportation. That's how flat earthers justify.
So they're saying it's magic?
Yep. Additionally,
let me guess, those people like Twilight, right?
That's the sound we all make when we die. But no,
look out for ghosts. They're a real fucking pain. But another thing, too, it's like with all of our magnification, now you take something like Mount Everest, the highest known peak above sea level
K2
on our planet. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't really matter to me, honestly. Yeah, on top any mountain.
Mount Everest is higher. K2 is more dangerous to climb. More people die on K2.
That's fair. But again, it's one of those things where we should be able to see one of the two from any high point anywhere. So you go up on top of Mount Hood, you get yourself a nice heavy-duty fuck-me telescope, and you show me Mount Everest in its entirety.
Where can I get a fuck me telescope?
Oh, I got me a fuck me telescope, but it might hurt. A lot of broken glass.
Stand on either side.
Also, that's what
Earth,
I'm naming the episode.
And we point the fuck me telescope into the void. Will it instantly like fuck you? Like from opposite ends?
Here's hoping. I mean,
well, no, okay,
I'm
wait a minute,
on
wait a minute.
Now.
We're joking about it, but that's a good point. So if you point the giant fuck me telescope all the way to the east,
named another show,
will you suddenly see your ass?
In theory,
because I mean, with the Pac-Man theory,
yeah, Yeah, in theory. Well, unless it's one of those veiled Pac-Man notions to where once you hit the wall, you don't see the wall until you're past the wall, and then once you're past the wall, you're already on the other side. So, probably not, but I'll bet if you found it and then stuck your finger through it, you should, in theory, be able to turn behind you and look to the other side
point
and see
the,
your finger
point the
pointing
fuck me
right
telescope
back
at you. And see
in
just
the opposite
a floating
direction.
Middle finger.
Yeah, one middle finger just floating in midair. Yep, that's it right there. And honestly, if that's the case, they need to prove it.
Picture it didn't happen.
Exactly. That's all
no.
I'm saying.
Video or it didn't happen. I want to see
somebody go through the Pac-Man void and show it coming out the other side with a giant fuck me telescope. Yes. This is what I require, world. Challenge has now been issued.
Flat earthers, prove me wrong.
Dude, seriously. And don't get me wrong. If I was wrong, I would happily admit it, but the simple fact is there is a megaton of science that
I'll tell
literally
you what,
says that they're
challenge
fucking retarded.
To the flat earthers. If you can prove beyond reasonable doubt with facts,
not
factual
speculation.
Evidence that cannot be argued against. No holes. You do your research. You get the videos, the pictures, everything to prove that the earth is flat. I will believe in God.
Ooh, that's a tall order.
My question also for flat earthers.
My mom
is
just
how
got pissed.
Is what about the other planets? Are they all flat too? Because, like, sorry, I think Saturn kind of blows your theory out of the water.
Yeah, it literally has rings. And I have actually physically seen the rings of Saturn. It was actually really cool. There was
you rode your bicycle over there?
Fuck yeah, I did. I popped a really hot wheelie and I got all the way up there. But no, it was actually there was a like a star party that was going on at Glendevere Golf Course a couple of months back. And yeah, they had a bunch of telescopes set up pointed at all different directions. I got to see five of Jupiter's moons actually orbiting Jupiter, not really fast, but they were there.
Whoa, those moons are fast.
They're hauling ass. So I got to see the storm cloud on Jupiter. I got to see the rings of Saturn, and we got to see some really, really up close viewing of the moon itself. And so it was really,
nice.
Really fucking cool. And so yeah, I've seen the rings of Saturn, and
I did recently
jelly.
See an article that the red spot on Jupiter, that
oh,
big
the
storm,
yeah.
Yeah, that's getting smaller.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, they're wondering if it's like the storm is finally burning out after, you know, 10 billion years.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you know.
That's one fucking long hurricane.
Dude, seriously, and if we can figure out how that son of a bitch got started, we'd have a perpetual motion machine.
Right.
To start a storm that'll just constantly go. But yeah, no, I mean, flat earthers. I hate to be all biased and hating and, you know, whooshing that haterade, but y'all are fucking stupid. Sorry. I said it.
Do you think that if someone proposed that theory to Trump, that he would believe it?
Probably.
I think so, too.
I have a lingering suspicion they would address it with
Wait, there's a caveat. If someone proposed it to him on Fox, hell yes. Any other news outlet? No.
Probably
it's
not.
Fake news.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Although I will say that if Trump came out and said that the earth was round, most of the flat earthers would go, oh, shit, we were wrong.
No, they'd probably go, you know, I don't like this guy. I think he's stupid.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's exactly what they would say.
I don't think they would leave
their... I
think
half of them would say that. The other half would go... Oh, okay.
I think they would keep their pony in the race, and they would just be like, Trump's an idiot. Fuck that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because, again, it's dangerous, the time that we're living in right now, where people can feel this way about things that... Don't get me wrong. I understand that in, you know, 100 years, our science is going to move in such a direction that some of the things we think and feel and hold dear as scientific fact... will probably be met with a decent amount of changing. However, I have a lingering suspicion that 90% of the principles that we've come to understand now will probably still be holding true. We'll just know more about them.
Yeah.
Well, that's the nature of science. It evolves as we learn, as we come to understand fact about the nature of things.
Yeah.
We learn more and more about those things, and our understanding grows. As our understanding grows, we're able to discover more and more about the nature of things. I mean, it's just a constant, perpetual motion.
And it's super fascinating. Like, I've been reading this book, Quackery, A Brief History of the Worst Ways to Cure Everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so good. And it's going through the whole history of what elements were used for when they were first discovered, like radium, mercury, antimony. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy I didn't live in those times.
Right.
Oh my gosh. And just what people had to go through for those scientific discoveries to learn more about them. You know, this actually is not good for you. Right now I'm in the tools section, and I just finished the section on lobotomy.
Yay.
Terrifying.
You'd hear about the ice pick lobotomy yet?
Yeah, that's just what I finished. Walter Freeman, who had a lobotomobile.
Mm-hmm.
He used to drive around
and he could
lobotomies out of a van.
If I'm not mistaken, he could perform a lobotomy in about 15 minutes.
Once he created his method for with the ice pick,
mm-hmm.
He no longer needed a surgeon. And he no longer needed a medical space.
Yeah. So yeah. He literally just poke it in right by your eye, go yep. up, left, right, up, down, out. And you go from then on.
He did Rosemary Kennedy's lobotomy.
Yeah. And again, it's stuff like that where it's like we've come a long way, especially when it comes to medical science and things of that sort, because for the longest time, nobody really understood what the fuck was going on with us, and one of the reasons why we have a little bit better understanding of our own anatomy is, Burke and Hare was one of them. The guys who were literally killing people and then, cashing in the corpses to the college because getting a hold of a fresh dead cadaver was actually really hard to do.
Yeah.
So if your buddy had passed on, you could sell his body to the college. They'd rip him apart, try to figure out what goes where. And that's actually the first, I think, close anatomy drawings came from that professor. And again, it was on corpses that were literally murdered and turned in for cash.
So wait a minute. You're saying I could kill you and
I'm not worth anything.
Not anymore in the 1800s.
Yeah, 1800s, bro. The Burke and Hare. Actually, the method
You want to take a ride in my DeLorean?
The thing about it is it was the act of burking someone is when you put your mouth or your hand over someone's mouth and close their nose with your fingers and then try to basically hold that until they pass out. That move was invented by Burke of Burke and Hare. And so it's a matter of, he continues down this tree's lane as an efficient way to strangle someone, cutting off their air supply, and then sell their corpse. Which is funny because I believe Burke went to jail and got hanged. His corpse went back to the professor who they'd sold all the bodies to, and Hare got let go. They just said, nah, never mind, we got one. We're good.
It was the original witness protection.
I don't even know. Honestly, it was just a weird story. But still, it's medical science has come fucking miles, especially if you consider the Victorian era was what? Back in the 1830s to 1890 or something like that. Mm. You figure it's been over 100 years since the Victorian era, and that was the time of Burke and Hare. So a little over 100 years, we now have a much firmer grasp on anatomy and how to treat certain disorders, diseases. I mean, things like cancer, although we have kind of still a shitty way of treating cancer, it's still a treatment that has proven effective in some cases. But at the same time, you figure in another 100 years,
well, just look at how much we've advanced in the last 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
50 years ago, the internet wasn't around.
Fuck, dude.
50 years ago, we didn't have cell phones.
Let's see. 50 years ago, that would be, what, 1978?
Yeah. We barely had computers then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first ones were starting to be assembled in garages that were, well, okay, they had computers prior to that, as far as I understand, but it had to take up an entire fucking warehouse of machines just to do simple computing.
Yeah.
1968.
There you go. So we technically had more online, but it wasn't nearly what we have now,
yeah,
by any stretch. I mean, you even go so far as to say 20 years past 1968 was 88, we had the Apple computers. You know, they weren't great and they weren't super smart, but they were functioning computers,
yeah,
and they were fairly small. You go flash forward another 10 years.
You can make the turtle make a circle.
Right, right. Yeah. Oregon Trail. It was awesome. But again, it's stuff like that. I mean, you look at the colossal jumps we make when we go and approach things scientifically. We tend to come up with a lot better things. The problem I find with people who still believe the Earth is flat or that Trump is a great president... is they took the information they wanted and stopped.
Yeah.
And that's it. They're not expanding any thought to anything past where their comfort zone is. You tell somebody who's a Trump supporter and say, you know, he's a kind of a treasonous, rapist kind of guy, and they'd go, I don't know what you're talking about. It's all bullshit. It's all made up. They're just trying to tear him down because he's doing a good job and he's doing things they don't like.
I've actually had a conversation with a guy who supported Trump and voted for him. And I asked why, you know. And I thought I was going to have like a long debate kind of thing. But I actually...
I bet you he just hated Hillary.
Well...
That's a lot of it. And I'm like, you're just stupid then.
Yeah. And the thing is, and I said this... I've said this on the show a bunch of times. Hillary is a very polarizing figure.
Oh, yeah.
People either liked her or hated her. And unfortunately, far too many people hated her.
Yep. And there was just enough distrust.
And a lot of
distrust.
That hate comes from when her husband was president. And I think, honestly, I think that if she had left Bill when all that Monica Lewinsky stuff came off, there might have been more support for her.
I think if she'd have left him after the impeaching, it would have merited more support. But the simple fact was that
a lot of people just couldn't get behind her simply because she stuck by her husband.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, brownie points to her and all, but yeah, no. I'm sorry. If my wife ever became, you know, president of the United States and then got literally red-handed cheating...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be the end of it. Sorry, sweetheart.
And it's like, she's a very opportunistic woman.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it's not really
she's
anything
a politician, through and through. But that's what people hated most.
But she never, ever did anything to really endear herself to the public. I voted for her.
Me too.
But I didn't like her.
Me too.
But of the choices we had, I thought she was the better choice because...
Well, she understood the game.
She had a political career.
Yeah, and on top of that...
She understood the law. She understood how to work with the system, everything.
Mm-hmm.
He has done nothing. Nothing. Congress has been running the country, not the president.
Yep.
I mean, that's just truth. That's fact.
Yeah, and I keep saying it, like, he's literally, he's done nothing. He has done not a single thing.
He has effectively been campaigning since 2015.
Something
right.
Like that, yeah.
Like,
he has not stopped camping.
That's the only part of the job he likes. He enjoys the campaigning part. He enjoys the attention.
Because it plays to his ego.
That's the only part he enjoys.
It completely...
Because he's an egotistic psychopath.
Yeah, it plays to his ego. He loves the cheering. He loves the, you know, the people there supporting Trump, shouting Trump and lock her up and all. He loves that stuff. He cannot stand the day-to-day minutia of being president. He doesn't like the meetings. He doesn't like being in the office. He doesn't like the phone calls. He doesn't like any of that. That stuff about him not reading any of the briefings unless they've got his name in it. That's fucking true.
Yeah.
They have to put his name in the briefing so he'll read the shit. And even then, he doesn't read it. It's true that he takes a lot of time out of his day to watch TV.
Yeah. Again.
I just finished Woodward's book a couple days ago. And my perspective changed a tiny bit in that I no longer really believe he's actively trying to ruin the country. He's just too stupid.
Yes.
Like, he's a simple-minded person, only for the fact that he chooses to be simple-minded. Because his dad, you know, he had a golden-plated, pearl-encrusted spoon, you know, in
his
mouth his whole life. He hasn't done a single fucking thing. His dad paid for his education, paid off his teachers. Teachers have come out, and what was it? The one teacher who passed away recently said, he's the dumbest student I've ever had. He has effectively stopped learning at a very young age because he believed he knew everything. So
he didn't
have
to.
He needs to learn. And that belief that he does not have to learn and he has nothing to learn since the 1950s is very dangerous. Yeah. So in the book, Woodward was saying that he has a very Norman Rockwell view of the country. And I was like, holy shit. Why didn't I think of that exact terminology before? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
He has a Norman Rockwell 1950s. The country hasn't changed since the 50s. Refuses to believe that it has. And yeah, like they go into like we get the conversations in the news articles, but they go deeper into how those conversations actually went and how frustrating it truly is to work with him. And I, like, we know that it's frustrating, but like 5 minutes into the book, I was already angry.
No, I actually agree with you. I actually agree with you, Samantha, in the respect that I don't think he's ever set out to ruin the country. His agenda has always been self-serving. That's why he pushed for the tax reform, because it served him. It meant that he was responsible for even less taxes. Not that he's paid taxes in the last 20 or 30 years, but it also supported his very rich friends.
Yep.
Which in turn means they have more money to help spend with him so he can build more hotels and casinos and shit that will eventually go bankrupt. And that's something else that was brought up in that news thing I was telling you guys to watch on YouTube. They talked about how he had built all these hotels and casinos and stuff in the 80s, and then in the 90s the bill came due and he had nothing.
Yep.
He had no money to pay back all these loans that he had personally guaranteed, and he got raked over the coals for it, and he was constantly searching for new sources of income, which led him to Russia.
Gotcha.
And it's really well laid out and really interesting. But no, I don't think he's out to ruin the country. I think he's out for number one, and that's him and his legacy.
And the sucky part about it is that's what
ruins
is going
the country
to lead
yeah.
us to that path is because again, the position of president is not to be a job for oneself. It's meant to be a job for the people of the country. You are the representative of all of the people. You are supposed to be the voice, the deciding vote when it comes to important things, when it comes to relations for your people. So if you're only looking out for yourself, you're literally doing the worst possible job in that position.
And what's really...
It's a position of servitude.
Exactly.
It was never meant to be. It's like just like any other government service. It is a position of service. Mm-hmm. And Ryan was telling me that the reason they chose the term the president is they wanted to have a lackluster term that wasn't going to put anyone above anyone else. So originally that term was meant as a lowering as this person who's yes in charge, but is to be seen as someone who is with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for you. That's what that term means. But we have built it up within our society so high as to mean what Trump thinks it means, which he has a gross misunderstanding of the world in its entirety.
He thinks it means the US version of king.
Yeah, exactly. And that is exact the polar opposite of what it is
mm-hmm.
and should be and how it should be treated.
What's really sad, though, is the people that he's hurting most are the ones who support him the most.
Oh, yeah.
And again, they...
And they don't care.
They don't care, but I don't think that it's they don't care. I don't think they fully understand the consequences of his actions.
Or
and
lack
unfortunately,
of actions.
Because of the way the presidency works, it's going to be a few years before, you know, those consequences hit. And by then, there'll be a new president, and that president will get all the blame for what's happening.
Again, it's kind of the whole, you know, situation of W to Obama. It was a matter of all the shit that went down during W's time really hit the fan for Obama. And so everyone thought he was the worst fucking president of the world.
Well, the recession hit in W's watch, but that was all him.
True. But it got worse.
Yeah.
After he left,
and
almost.
Well, the thing is like, if he had stayed in, if he had been able to run a third term and won a third term, all of those things that happened on Obama's first term would still have been W's problem.
Yeah.
The thing is though, we got Obama in, and he spent his first term cleaning up W's mess.
Mm-hmm.
And we should stop saying W's mess because it was really Cheney's mess.
That's fair. That's fair.
So Obama's in, and he's fighting against, you know, all the cleanup he's got to do while at the same time trying to push for the stuff he promised. And I will say, Obama got a lot of stuff that he promised done.
And considering the torrent of people who were against him.
Yeah.
And how badly they screwed up his things. The reason our current healthcare system is so screwed up is because it did not go through the way Obama had originally intended it.
Yeah.
It's because Republicans and, more importantly, health insurance companies were in the pockets of Republicans.
Yep.
And for him to get the healthcare system that he wanted, he had to, you know,
basically break the
He had to compromise on what he originally wanted just to get the healthcare thing going.
Yep.
And it's great because I have healthcare, but I'm paying out the nose for that healthcare, and it shouldn't be that way. And it's that way because Republicans said, well, the only way we're going to do it is if we do it this way.
Yep.
You know,
and unfortunately, being
because universal healthcare doesn't work except in all the countries that it fucking works.
Yeah, because, you know, those other countries that have it, they
Republicans
they
are
work.
A party based solely on greed, and unfortunately,
which
there's
sucks.
No changing that.
Because originally, the Republican Party was actually, if I'm understanding things correctly, and I may have this ass backwards, but originally Republicans were kind of more on our side.
Yeah.
Than Democrats were. And so it's like, don't get me wrong, being a Republican back in the day was kind of where you got to be, but nowadays it's been so fucking distorted.
If you look at the history of our presidents and you see over time, Republicans largely were responsible for a lot of good in this country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were proponents for progression and innovation. And
but right around the 1960s
That's
when it really started changing. And I will say that it was guys like Nixon and
Ronnie Reagan.
Oh, Reagan is fully.
He really kind of set the bar.
Reagan fucked everyone.
Yeah.
When he started allowing, you know, cuts in Social Security and shit, which FDR set up and said, no one touches this.
Yeah. And FDR, you know, badass.
No, fucking FDR, guy got us out of the Great Depression.
Granted,
unfortunately,
led
us into World War II, but you know what? World War II, if you look at it from a economic standpoint.
Oh, it really pushed us up.
And from a scientific standpoint.
Yep.
That too.
You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes war breeds some of the best fucking technological advances there are.
And I think at the time, that was the best time for it. I know it really sounds terrible to say World War II, what a win. But
no,
it really was.
Honestly,
know?
Historians have come out and said, like, if World War II had not happened,
we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, the Depression would have gone on a lot longer.
Yeah.
World War II needed to happen, and not just for America, but the whole world was suffering.
Well, the UN was formed because of it, and
yeah.
that was the initial notion was they decided...
Wasn't NATO formed?
I don't know
about
that.
Or was that later?
I think that might have been later.
That's a fact check thing we got to look.
But
yeah.
It was one of those things. The UN was formed because they literally saw, you know, Hitler's rise, and that's why they decided to get together. They're like, we're never letting this happen again, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that's what formed the UN. And so it's a lot of great, amazing things came out of that era. However, a lot of horrendous, horrible, horrible shit happened, too.
It is literally, as far as history goes, I think it's our... It's roughly 10 years where humanity really shines and is really abhorrent at the same time.
Oh, yeah. We were definitely at our fucking hard polarization.
We were at our very best and our very worst from, I'd say, 1930 to around 1947.
Thereabouts.
NATO was formed April 4th, 1949.
Okay, so yeah, just a little after.
Yeah, okay.
Because the war officially ended in 45, didn't it?
Yes.
Because, yeah, we dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August. And it wasn't until, I think, 3 months later the surrender was signed. And that was the end of it, because we had already wrapped up Europe by then. Dropping the bombs was literally the last two fucking things. And we had already had them
ended,
pretty well cornered.
That ended the Pacific theater of war, but Europe went on for a little bit longer.
I could have sworn that ended right around 44. And it wasn't until 45 we wrapped up the Pacific. I could be wrong. And again,
You might have those flip-flopped. I'm not sure, because D-Day was June 1944.
Well, I know that after the bomb dropped, the war was over, because it was a matter of the...
Yeah, because Europe went, oh, fuck.
Well, the unconditional surrender...
ended 1945, September 1945.
There we go. Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the bombs were dropped in August, and they didn't surrender until September. The emperor was still trying to hold on to, nope, didn't happen. It's like, fuck, it happened twice. Fine. You win.
And again, the,
to be fair, that was probably Hirohito, but
the bomb that we dropped, an amazing scientific advancement, but a horrible fucking use.
Yeah.
The atom bomb.
And that was a small one.
Oh, dude. But, I mean, look at how much devastation it caused.
Yeah, two of them.
I think it was 0.13 megatons or something like that.
And it says something that was the last time a bomb of that magnitude has been used by anyone.
Well, in war, yes, but we tested one Pacific that was 51.6
megatons. Dude, every country that's come up with it has tested it. I mean, fucking France is some of the worst of it, but...
Yeah. Well, they just didn't have anywhere to drop them. We had a big-ass desert. And then the ocean. Fuck the ocean. We don't need it.
That's why there's fucking mutant sharks out there that are just waiting to evolve.
We're going
to
figure this out. That's how we created Aquaman. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Mystery solved.
I was going to say Octoshark, but okay.
Yeah.
Sharktopus, yeah.
So you're telling me sci-fi original movies are based on fact?
Dude, those aren't
movies.
No
way.
Those aren't movies. Those are documentaries.
Wait, I'll bet Sharktopus lives just on the other side of the Pac-Man hole, and he's just waiting to come through.
Yeah. That's why no one's ever documented it, because the Sharktopus always gets in.
Just grabs you and... Nom, nom, nom.
Those Polynesian planes that keep crashing?
Right, yeah.
Sharktopus.
Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's happening.
Fucking flat Earth is real. That's the proof.
Fuck!
Those planes are always trying to go in that fucking entrance, and they always just miss it and hit that invisible wall.
Yep.
Shit, we solved it!
Fuck! Damn you, sci-fi!
I think we just fucking proved the flat earthers right.
There you go, guys. You're welcome. Sharktopus is coming to get us
all. Dude, if I ever get into an argument with someone over flat earth and they bring up Sharktopus...
Sharktopus was like, the product of the 50s... Nuclear detonations at Bikini Atoll.
I heard it on Not Another Podcast, and those guys are fucking brilliant.
Always got the facts.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm on Not Another Podcast. Yeah, we're fucking idiots.
I was the one who said it. Oh, my God.
We just make stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, and fuck it. Why not? I'm starting to think Sharktopus is the real Cthulhu, and H.P. Lovecraft just made it to the edge and just,
Cthulhu is actually a turductopus.
A turductopus? Wow. I thought he was supposed to have really large wings, and every picture I've seen with him, he's got, like, these little fucking, like, baby flappers on his back. It's like, you ain't going nowhere
with
those.
Yeah, but you know what? Those wings are buffalo-flavored. They're delicious.
It's like a wounded duck. This is bullshit! Again.
The turductopus.
Turductopus and the sharktopus are holding the Pac-Man line at the edge of the flat
earth. That's why those planes never get through. That's why we've had so many crashes in that area of the world. Because that's where the wall is.
That and they make their jets out of wood. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. And as we all know, wood will not get through that invisible barrier.
It just can't push.
It doesn't have enough oomph.
There's a reason the spruce goose literally went up, down, never mind, turned around and went back in. They just saw it coming and was like, no, that's stupid.
Is that a wall?
Was Trump here? Turn around.
See, that's what they need to do. We need to get this theory over to Trump and say, no, you don't need a wall on the border. You need to
put a fence at the Pac-Man hole at the edge of the earth.
Find whatever it is that makes the Pac-Man wall.
Because Sharktopus is going to fuck us all up if he gets loose. I'm just saying.
You need to breed wild turductopuses and put them all along the border.
To combat the Sharktopus, and we need to let them
And
fight.
They'll take care of all the illegal border crossings.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they eat. It's their snack food.
Everyone knows that the favorite food of a turductopus is legal alien.
Oh, totally. Totally. Cthulhu loves it when you don't have your paperwork in order.
Once you've taken that citizenship test, though, they lose all hunger for you. So.
Well, it's like tasting like a sirloin steak and then
like a hot dog.
A hot dog wrapped in a piece of bad beef jerky. It's like, ew. I'll just wait for my steak.
Ladies and gentlemen of America,
turductopuses are real.
I have found a new solution to the border problem. I am going to breed the very best turductopuses and let them roam the border. I have saved us all.
You're welcome.
All hail Trump and the turductopus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that goes into the audio drama.
There you go.
See, we're writing it right now.
I think I might have just renamed the episode.
Turductopus?
Turductopus.
Turductopus. It's kind of fun to say.
You have to, like, what is the plural? Is it turductopus, turductopuses, turductopus?
Turductopi.
Yeah, turductopi is the actual.
Turductopi. Okay, I like it.
Turductopi.
Also, a delicious dessert.
Mythical.
You want to cut me a slice of that turductopie?
Oh, you know it.
Put on some Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Yeah, Border Patrol agents are like, man, I'm hungry. I'll just get one of the turductopie.
Fuck yeah. Gotta get some Cool Whip on that.
You roasted turductopie over an open fire? Oh.
Fuck yeah. I'm hungry
Put
now.
Put a pineapple in its mouth.
If you can find its mouth.
I think you just lift it up a little bit, you know, the tentacles up front, and just shove it down the middle and, like, tie the tentacles around it.
Well, you
gotta
be careful, because if it squirts ink, that stuff is never coming off.
Nah, it's okay. Doesn't have to be pretty to be edible.
But I think the ink is kind of acidic.
Actually,
so.
It's kind of weird. Side note and a real thing. True story. You're going to love this. No, I actually
you're
bought...
You're going to tail off the turductopus?
I bought some spaghetti noodles once that were dyed black by octopi ink.
Okay.
And they ended up, like, I don't know how much of Star Trek fans you guys are, but there is a dish in Star Trek called Glock. It is a Klingon dish, and it has, like, these black worm-looking tentacle fucking things. Well, my wife and I decided we were going to make our own homemade Glock using this black spaghetti. And it really was overpriced for what it tasted like. Because we got to eating it and it was like, yep, that's fucking spaghetti noodles. If I closed my eyes, I couldn't tell you that they were dyed black. Couldn't tell you. And again, we did it with like some Alfredo sauce or something like that. So it was really fucking tasty, but it was just like...
It's just Alfredo with black noodles.
Yeah, essentially. That tasted just like normal fucking spaghetti noodles. So
well,
I was
what
like,
the fuck was it supposed to taste like?
I was hoping for some difference in flavor, but to be honest with you, it's like, I can't
it's
tell
just
the difference.
Just fucking dyed noodles.
Yeah, that's all it was. It was like, and it, the pack was like $6 versus like your normal box of spaghetti was
like
$1.50. Yeah. And that was it. It was like, okay, I paid to be fancy, and that's all, and I feel stupid now.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. But you know what? I tried it.
But you ate Glock.
I did. I had Glock. And you have to say it with ferocity because it's Klingon. But yes, I had it, and it was
so you
pretty good.
Essentially had Klingon spaghetti.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was pretty damn fucking tasty, thank you very much.
Well, you know what you have to try now?
Hmm.
Turductopus.
Turductopus? Oh, fuck yeah. Can I have it in sushi?
No.
Fuck.
That's not how you eat turductopus.
I like my turductopus raw. Fuck you, bro. Oh, and this odd
you do know that Menstrata rides a turductopus into battle, right?
That's hot. Just blood running down his face. That's hot.
What's that sound?
It's Menstrata on her turductopus! Run!
Well, we're fucked.
Dude, seriously.
Okay, well, with that image...
You're welcome! If this goes up, you are welcome.
That's it for this week. Next week, more turductopus.
Woo!
And less glock.
Hey, glock is good for you. It's tasty.
Not when it's $6 for black noodles.
It was a touch starchy. What are you going to do?
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.